The Lord just really ministered to me a word today that just, it's not necessarily something new, but you know, God really doesn't say new things. Now, He may say things that are new to you, but the longer you walk with the Lord, it's not so much always that you hear brand new things. He just shares things in new ways. When you talk about the unsearchable riches of Christ, then if they're unsearchable, then you're forever discovering some new prism of this multifaceted diamond life in Christ. And so the Lord just spoke some things to me this afternoon in just a moment, actually. And it just blew me away, that in terms of blessing me. And so what's always better for me, and I think that's kind of always been true, is that I don't just pass on to you something I'm studying to have so that I'll have something to study. I'm not just trying to prepare a lesson. Even though I may be teaching through a book, my deal is, in terms of that book, is that I want to learn what God wants to say to me in that book. And so as we move through like the book of Romans or Galatians or whatever, I'm passing on to you not just information, but I'm passing on to you things that the Lord has spoken to my heart that are relevant, that are transformational to me, that brings me from glory to glory. And so takes me from one place to another in the Lord and into a broader place, this large place called being in Christ. And so tonight's the same thing, and pondering what I was going to share with you, because we've not decided what we're going to do in terms of a book or a series on Wednesday nights, that we're just doing words that God's speaking to me in my time with Him. Also, let me give you a real quick update. If you didn't somehow read or listen to the voice email I sent to you for CTKers, and there'll be people seeing this tonight who aren't CTKers, but you know, I went to see a neurosurgeon on Monday, and what the neurosurgeon discovered on the MRI that was done some weeks ago in Montgomery is there's actually a cyst on my L2, that whole vertebrae part, and it's pushing against the nerve root. So it's not so much a disc problem as it is a cyst issue. And so the recommendation, actually the only solution, is surgery. And so we're hoping to have the surgery sometime in the next couple of weeks. It's the kind of surgery that don't have to put any kind of hardware, don't have to remove a disc, any of that kind of thing. He's going to go in. He said, I'll be under for about an hour, and he'll do a procedure where he removes the cyst. And then if he needs to shave any of the disc, he used the word clean up the disc area, he will, and which I think just means shave some of the disc off. And that it's about a 3-week recovery. And so apart from being healed supernaturally, that's really a powerful word of good news to me, because this has been such a mystery as to why this keeps going on without really not getting much better. And it gave me a lot of answers, and I'm really grateful for that. So thank you to the Lord for leading me in this direction. There's a bunch of steps I can share with you at some point that is kind of stunning leadership of the Lord. One of the things I've learned is this: because He's such a good shepherd, even though I may not always be able to hear His voice perfectly, I'm still learning how to hear His voice, as sheep hear His voice, I can trust His perfect leadership. That's a very comforting thing to me, because sometimes we can get so concerned, what if we miss it? What if we didn't hear His voice quite right? It's not that hard. God doesn't play games with us. He makes it as easy as possible. He loves the fact that we seek Him, that we want to spend time with Him, that we want to hear His voice, but He so protects us. Kind of like when your children were first learning to walk and they were taking their first steps, like you were right behind them with your kind of arms to the side, because if they started to fall, you would catch them. Well, if you would do that for your children, how much would your Heavenly Father do that to protect you, to make sure you don't miss Him? Because unless you're just intentionally wanting to miss Him and don't care what He has to say, He makes it very, very, very difficult to miss Him. He'll do everything He can to keep us from missing Him. And so even if He knows we're not hearing clearly what He's saying, He's going to lead us in perfect leadership, with perfect leadership. That's why it says, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, about whether his leaving Troas was the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, he said, but thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. That's a powerful word. And so I get to tell some of the story later about how the Lord led me to this particular neurosurgeon who's really well known and really gifted. And so he's from Galilee. He was born in Galilee. Now get that. That if this is the instrument that God uses to bring healing, I can honestly say on two levels that it was a man from Galilee that brought healing into my life. Pretty crazy, huh? Anyway, let's get to what we're going to do tonight. This won't take the whole hour. You know, we're not doing our time of worship as we normally do on Wednesday nights. And so this won't take the whole hour. I'm just going to share with you the word that God's spoken to me, that he's massaged my heart with. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will massage your heart also. Okay? So let me just read some scriptures to you. This is from John chapter 14. I'll just begin in verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. But you will be whole after. Let me read that again. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me, talking about Pentecost. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know, talking about Pentecost again, you will know that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me, and I'm in you. Such a powerful verse. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and disclose myself to him, or reveal myself to him, manifest myself to him, make my presence real to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us, but not to the world? Verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, we will come to him, and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Let me read some verses from chapter 15, and I'm going to come back and look at this again a little bit more. Verse 9 of chapter 15. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Again, just as the Father has loved me, the same way God loves God, because Jesus is God, just as the Father loves me, the same way God loves God, Jesus loves you and me. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now in chapter 14, he says, if you keep my commandments, he says, by this, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. In verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my commandments. In verse 10 of chapter 15, after saying that he loves us, Jesus loves us, just the same way the Father loves him, therefore, he says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now, that's a mouthful. That's a lot of stuff. And there's a lot of things we can say, but there's some simple things that I want you to see and remind you of. One is that when he says, let me put these glasses back on. I should have just kept them on. When he says in verse 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him. Talking about us. And I will disclose myself to him. Again, verse 23. Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, we've answered this question before. This is not a new verse, but just to answer it again, he can't be saying to us, if you keep my commandments, I will start loving you. but I'm not going to start loving you until you keep my commandments. That's contrary to everything we know in Scripture, because he says that he loves us the same way Jesus loves us, the same way he loves the Father. Over in chapter 17, it says the Father loves us the same way he loves Jesus. And so he doesn't start loving Jesus because Jesus in his humanity kept his commandments. He's always loved Jesus. He didn't start loving him then. He doesn't start loving you when you keep his commandments. That's the epitome of legalism in the most horrific kind of way. So he can't be saying that. What he's saying, therefore, is very simple. He said, if you keep my commandments, it's going to be because you love me. Now, again, I would say that it wouldn't be wrong to say that my loving him, my keeping the commandments, is evidence of my loving him or proof that I love him. But what he's saying here really is, if you want to keep my commandments, you're going to first love me. And if you love me, if you fall in love with me, one of the things that's going to happen, one of the expressions of that love, is that you're going to keep my commandments. Okay? That's what he's saying. Just like in chapter 15, when he said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Again, doesn't mean that Jesus, by keeping commandments, the Father started loving him. It's that when he kept commandments in his humanity, he was abiding in the Father's love. When, verse 21 of chapter 14, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself to him. Think of the word steward, or think of the word savor. God doesn't start loving you when you keep his commandments. But there's something about keeping his commandments that brings us into an experiential flow of savoring and stewarding the love he has for us. And the love that he has for us, the Father has for us, is the same love he has for Jesus. In chapter 15, the love that Jesus has for us is the same love the Father has towards him. So it goes like this. Our first calling, in a sense, or our first priority in our relationship with him is loving him. And if we love him, one of the things that's going to happen is we're going to want to bring pleasure to him. We're going to want to please him, not to get him to love me, just because we want to ravish his heart, because we do love him. You hear me? So the number one issue, the first thing about love, about first love, is to love him. Let me read this from Revelation. So I hope I'm making sense to you. As you know me, I'll repeat it a few times so that we'll get it. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus. And he's talked about how all the good things they've done, their proper doctrine, how they won't tolerate anyone with improper doctrine, their discipline, all that kind of stuff. But he says in verse 5, but he says at the end of that, but I have this one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Now, again, first love here is not chronological. It's not like, it's a description of a kind of love. If you've ever been in love before, you know what first love's like. It's just, it has an extravagance to it. There's such an extravagant, your behavior's extravagant. You know, what you're willing to sacrifice is extravagant. There's just extravagant expressions. First love has an extravagance to it. And so he's saying here about first love is that the way we should always love him was with a first love kind of love. He's not talking about chronological. He's talking about the kind of love. And even though the church in Ephesus, they were doing a lot of right things, had proper doctrine, wouldn't tolerate heretics, they were very disciplined, but he said, I have this thing, one thing against you. You've left your first love. You've lost the extravagance of first love. the passion of first love. And so the very next verse, in verse 5 of Revelation 2, remember therefore, in light of the fact that you've left your first love, remember therefore from where you have fallen. In other words, remember what it was like when you experienced first love. And repent. Change your mind. The word repent means to think with. To think with the Lord. To agree with Him. Yes, it's not what it once was. It's not like it was. It's the first love that I experienced. Maybe you experienced it for years, but somehow it's gone and gone away. You've drifted away from that. It's not the same thing. Therefore, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Not remember that you've fallen, but from where you've fallen. Remember the wonderful nostalgia of your first love experience with the Lord. Again, not chronological, not about when you first started walking with the Lord, but that kind of love that we're supposed to carry at all times. We're supposed to experience at all times. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first. And the words there, do the deeds you did at first, if you look in the margin, and do the first deeds. Now, what are the first deeds? When I think about that, when I think about when I first fell in love with Olivia, or when have known first love in your life, first time you were ever in love, in my life, if I ever fell in love with anybody before Olivia, when I was younger, even though they weren't the one for my life, it turned out to be true. So true with that person, true with Olivia, I just wanted to spend time with them. I just wanted to be in their presence. I just wanted to behold them. I wanted to just be with them. And I wanted to do that no matter what price I had to pay for that to happen. Whatever sacrifice I had to make, I wanted to be with them. One of the things you can know if you're still a single person and you're not really sure if a person loves you with true love is that, with that kind of first love kind of love, is how casual are they about doing what they need to do to be with you, to spend time with you. So in Christianity, in my relationship with the Lord, first and foremost, I'm to cultivate and nurture and protect being in His presence, beholding His face, His beauty, and hearing His voice. Your time alone with the Lord in the secret place. Now, communicating with Him, making sure, I know His presence at all times, but I know that because I've cultivated His presence in my time with Him in the secret place. And so it's imperative for us to spend time with Him, whatever works for you, and to do it in such a way that is sustainable for you. Because it's there that we nurture. It's there. Those are the first loves, first deeds that we maintain our entire walk with the Lord. Because it's there that we continue to guard and protect and to flourish in my own first love experience. Now, why is that? Because the scripture says we love because why? He first loved us. So my loving Him is always reciprocal. Your loving the Lord is always reciprocal. The more that you soak in how much He loves you, the more you're going to love Him back. Now, can I soak in that riding down the street in my car, in my truck? Can I soak in that while I'm at work? Yes, I can. But I do believe and I do know, and it's been proven in my own walk, I'm sure it has in yours too, that being able to spend time alone with Him, to be able to just behold Him without distraction, helps cultivate a culture where His presence is always real to you, where His presence, you're savoring His presence. Let me show you that scripture again in John 14. Jesus says in verse 21 of 14, He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Again, Verse 22, and Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and to him and make our abode with him. I'll disclose myself to that person who's keeping my commandments. My Father and myself will make our abode with him. Now, if you're a Christian, hasn't he already abiding in you? Isn't he already abiding in you? Yes. But there's something about loving him and that love being expressed in obedience. There's something about obedience where it's not something that's tinny. It's not about legalism. It's not about duty. It's about delight. It's about out of delight of loving him. I'm just obeying him and I want to obey him. And therefore, it just keeps me in this flow of being able to savor and to steward presence and love. Does that make sense to you? My obedience doesn't get him to abide in me. He lives in me. But my obedience nurtures, it positions me, postures me to savor that presence, for that presence to be more real to me. It just creates a flow. Think about obedience totally different than you ever thought about it before as duty. But it's something about this link between how much he loves me and my experience, my stewarding, my savoring that love. There's something about obedience that creates this link between his presence being in me and me savoring and experiencing and stewarding that presence. You've heard me say this before, is that you can't do anything to get more favor on your life. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So that's all the favor. It's on you. You've been placed in the life that Jesus lived and lives in the favor he has with the Father. So obedience doesn't create more favor. You have all the favor that Jesus has. You've been grafted into his sonship and you're co-heirs with him with all the favor he has with the Father. You're co-heirs. Jesus and all that he is and all that he has is my inheritance. But what obedience does is it postures me to steward more favor, to steward more the favor I have. It postures me to savor, to be aware of, and to steward and experience the favor that's mine at a higher level. And therefore, two of the greatest expressions of his favor is his love for me and his presence in me. And therefore, as I obey him, and this is not about me telling you now, leave this Bible study and go out and try to obey him more. No, fall in love with him more. Be in his presence. Soak in his presence. Let him speak into your life more about how much he loves you. Contemplate the cross. Contemplate the love of God revealed in his own self-sacrifice for you. And allow yourself to soak in his love for you. And the result is you're going to love him more. And that becomes a cycle that grows. That's more and more as the years go by. That's why, though the outer man's decaying, your inner man's being renewed day by day, because it's a love relationship that gets better as time goes on. Have you ever known an aging couple? And I can honestly say that they love the person they're married to more now than they ever did even from the beginning. Because this first love thing just gets momentum and it just kind of becomes more vivid as time goes by. Not worn out and old. Not passive and drab. Not gray upon gray, but full of passion and glory. But hear this. This is the part of all of it that's blown me away more than anything else. These are those verses in chapter 15 again. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. Now, one of the ways I abide in his love is by keeping his commandments. Because he says, if you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. Now, what does that mean again? It doesn't make him love me more. My obedience, which flows out of my loving him, my obedience just postures me to savor and steward that love in such reality, such vividness. It postures me to experience and enjoy it more. There's something wonderful and magical about love that gives birth to the obedience of love. That just that puts me in this flow where his presence and his love is so vivid, and I savor it, and I'm stewarding it experientially more. I don't get more. I'm just experiencing it more. I'm just savoring it more. I'm just stewarding it more. But this is the scripture that got me so. I mean, all this gets me, blows me away. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Now, what's he talking about? What is his joy? Is his joy in my obedience? I think it does bring him joy. It ravishes his heart. But he's talking about what he said in this verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. These things I've spoken to you about the fact that I love you as much as the Father loves me. These things I've spoken to you about that my joy may be made full. What joy? His joy in loving you. Your awareness, your growing consciousness of how much he loves you. That's his joy being made full. You hearing me? These things I've spoken to you about the fact that I love you as much as the Father loves me. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be made full. We love because he first loved us. And his joy in loving us is made full when we find joy in how much he loves us. That's what I'm trying to say. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy in loving you may be made full, and that your joy may be made full. His joy made full, my joy made full. These things about how much he loves us. See, as I abide in his love, as I become more and more aware and allow him to love on me, you know, this is why I so love spending time with him. And not just that, as years have gone by, I hear his voice more and more. I've shared with you about Jesus speaking things into me. Like when I, you know, go into a situation where I'm going to minister and I go, Lord, I don't really know these people. And you go like, oh, Lord Chuck, I know them very well. And so I've got real peace about what we're going to say. That's him loving on me. That's his sharing his heart with me. It just blows me away. It just causes me to fall in love with him. I go from one glory to the next every time he does that. When I get alone with him, it's not just about me talking to him. It's a conversation. He's talking to me. He's revealing himself to me. And in revealing himself to me and him watching me enjoy how much he's enjoying me makes his joy full. You with me? That's how much he loves you. His joy is made full when our joy in how much he loves us is made full. When we're rejoicing in how much he loves us, it makes his joy full. That's amazing to me. That's stunning to me. So fit obedience into that sandwich. It's not about duty. It's not about some stale thing. It's like in the middle of joy that I'm discovering, I'm beholding him. I'm discovering how much more he loves me, because the more I know how much he loves me, the more I love him. Because I'm just celebrating. My joy is being made full in how much he loves me. And because my joy is being made full, because I'm discovering how much he loves me, it makes his joy full. Because he rejoices in my enjoying him, loving me. He delights. He finds his greatest delight in my delighting in how much he loves me. And out of that flows this wonderful obedience that keeps me in this river of savoring and experiencing and stewarding more and more of presence and affection of God in my life. Okay? Well, that took us 32 minutes. I pray that ministers to you. I pray that you were able to hear what I had to say. It's stunning to me. And I wanted to pass that on to you because I love you so much. Blows me away, the love of God for me. And this amazing relationship I've been drawn into. Jesus' obedience to his Father, he said he obeyed his Father and therefore abided in the Father's love. It wasn't out of duty. It was out of sheer love. And we obey out of sheer love. But that love for him grows, and therefore my obedience becomes more excessive and more expensive and more expressive because I'm learning how much he loves me progressively. And that brings him such delight. He delights in my delighting in how much he loves me. And it makes his joy full and mine full. Let me read the scripture to you. Very familiar. And then we'll stop. Verse 17 of Ephesians 3. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know, and the word there is to know experientially the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Stunning. Alrighty. Well, for those of you who are CTKers, for those of you who are not CTKers, but are listening in, again, I love you so much. And that's just, I'm able to steward still just a smidgen of how much he loves you and how much it delights him, makes his joy full when he discovers how much you delight in him delighting in you. Okay? All right. Well, God bless. Have a great rest of the evening, abiding in Christ and abiding in his love for you.